At 8:04 a.m., present are Senator Huggins, Senator Stedman, and myself, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy. We have a quorum. And today we've got a sponsor substitute for Bill 41, School Sports Interscholastic Activities, and the sponsor is Senator Dyson. I would ask that Senator Dyson and his staff come forward. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for the committee for hearing the bill. The interscholastic competition and activities in our state are controlled by a board. Last year, Senator Meyer got a bill through that improved an ambiguity in the law, and we're just, I think, adding one more word to that, something he missed last year. My chief of staff, Chuck Kopp, will explain it.
Mr. Kopp, can you slide over towards the mic? Please introduce yourself.
Sir, monitor.
And also another member of our staff, Joshua Banks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Chuck Kopp, Chief of Staff to Senator Fred Dyson. I also have with me of our staff, Joshua Banks. In 1997, the Alaska Legislature passed into law House Bill 158, which allowed for school children enrolled in correspondence and homeschool programs to also enroll part-time in school districts to attend classes. In 2012, the legislature passed Senate Bill 119. Several of you probably remember the incident at Chugiak High School with the varsity football team. They had to forfeit a number of games they won because they had a homeschool student that ultimately it was decided under OSAW regulation it was not permissible for the student to participate on the team. And apparently the Alaska statutes were the vehicle that needed to be improved to allow that to happen. So Senate Bill 119 was passed into law, and it allowed homeschool programs to have their children be eligible to participate in public schools. There are currently 32 state-recognized correspondence programs in Alaska. In very recently, in the past several months, it came to attention of a number of the private schools and parents and the OSAW board that homeschool children also were desiring to partner with private schools in OSAW programs, which, in addition to sports, which we usually think of, it's band and choir, academic meets, and any OSAW-sanctioned event. The reading of OSAW of the bill passed by the legislature last year, again Senate Bill 119, was that the word private school was not in the regulation, and so they determined there was a eligibility problem for those students to participate. So we confirmed that with OSAW. I spoke with Gary Matthews and some administrators of various private schools, and they said that was the interpretation that OSAW had made, that unless there was a statutory change, current law would not be permissive of that partnership between parents of homeschool children and non-public schools from occurring. This law was written similarly, very similarly to SB 119, in that it is permissive. It doesn't require a student, or I should say, it doesn't require a school to accept a homeschool student. It merely makes sure that the law is not the vehicle standing in the way from that partnership occurring, that if the administrator or the governing board of the school approves that that partnership can happen. And the sponsor substitute came about as a result of further conversation with the OSAW executive director, Gary Matthews, when he said there was a problem in the original bill from OSAW's perspective, that the word entirely referring to alternative education programs being required to be located entirely in the state was problematic because of our 32 correspondence programs. Many of them are internet-based almost entirely, and it's so hard to police where that curriculum is coming from, in interstate, and he said, frankly, OSAW doesn't want to police that. We'd rather just ignore that word entirely. So based on that, we struck the word entirely from the original bill, which is under Section 1430-365, Interscholastic Activities. And in this new section, which is under Section 1445, which controls private and denominational schools, we similarly left that word out to make it more easy to recognize that correspondence programs and internet-based coursework can come from a variety of sources. And we focus the definition for being located in the state to refer to where the child is actually receiving the instructional hours of education, being located in the state. We'll now ask Joshua Banks of our staff to go through the section summary, and if there's any questions as we go, we'll entertain that.
Are there any questions for members of the committee at this point for Senator Dyson or his staff? Okay, Mr. Banks, could you come to the mic and please identify yourself for the record and give your testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Joshua Banks, staff Senator Dyson of Eagle River, and I'll be presenting the sectional for the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 41. Section 1 is, as Chuck mentioned, that it's the reason for the sponsor substitute, in that we're deleting the word entirely, and so that it was brought to our attention by the ASAA, Alaska School Activities Association, and just because many of the homeschool programs are internet-based, and so it would be very difficult to tell if they are entirely in the state of Alaska, so we struck that word out, and Section 1 is actually from the original bill that was done last year by Senator Meyer, and it's AS 1430-365. Section 2 gives the definition for located in the state, and it essentially says that in order for an alternative education program to be in the state, the student has to be in Alaska taking their instruction or classes in the state. Section 3 is really the meat of the bill, which will allow students in alternative education programs to participate in interscholastic activities at a private or religious school. Paragraph A states that an alternative education student can participate at a private or religious school that they could attend for classes if they weren't participating, if they weren't in an alternative education program. It also states that the student would have to receive approval from the school administrator before participating in interscholastic activities. Paragraph B states three standards that an alternative education student would have to meet before participating in any activities. One, the student has to meet the requirements set by each school, as well as the statewide Interscholastic Activities Governing Board, which is ASAA. Number two, the student has to provide academic transcripts, proof of full-time enrollment, any disciplinary records, and any medical records that are required for participating in the activity. And the student has to claim the same school for all the activities that they want. So they can't choose one school to play basketball and then another school to play baseball. They have to have the same school. Paragraph three of Section 2 gives the definitions for this section. Alternative education program is defined as any non-traditional education program, such as the Military Youth Academy, an accredited homeschool program, a charter school, statewide correspondence school, any public vocational, remedial, or theme-based programs. District is defined in AS 1417-990 as a city or borough school district or a regional education area. Full-time student is defined as a student that's taking at least five classes if they're in the 9th through 11th grade, or four classes if they're in 12th grade, at least four classes, and that they're also on track to graduate from secondary school in 4 years. Interscholastic activities is defined as preparation for and participation in events or competitions with another school. When the activity is supported or sanctioned by the ASAA, if the activity is outside regular school curriculum and it does not involve participation with a student government. The last definition in Section 2 is located in state, which is the same as mentioned before. It's defined as an alternative education program that is accessed by a student in Alaska and who is taking all classes and instruction in the state. And Section 4 gives the effective date, which is July 1st, 2013. And we have, is there any questions, Mr. Chair?
Questions for members of the committee? I'll let it go for now. With that, we're going to open this up for public testimony. Thank you. So at this point, Gary Matthews, are you on the phone? Are you online?
I am, Vice Chair. Could you hear me?
Yes. Could you please identify yourself for the record? And do you have testimony you wish to give, or are you just on for questions?
Yes, Vice Chair Dunleavy, I'm Gary Matthews, Executive Director of Alaska School Activities Association. I would like to make a couple comments.
Yes.
First of all, I appreciate the Senator Dyson's work in amending the first part of Senate Bill 119. It would be problematic when this goes into effect in July, and we're happy that that's been done. Hopefully you'll get your support as a committee, and this will move forth with the amendment. The second section, the new section, 1445-150, which is the second part of this, our board met last week, and we discussed this. We support this new section, and I have met with and discussed this with representatives of the private school community, and we agree that this is a good thing. We'll support this, and we'll do whatever we can to make sure that this new section of the statute gets put into our bylaws so it can go into effect on July 1st if it gets through the legislature and signed by the governor. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the committee for Mr. Matthews? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Do we have Nate Davis online?
Yes, I am here.
Please state your name for the record, and if you have testimony, please proceed.
Yes, my name is Nate Davis, Superintendent of Grace Christian School, and again, just thank you, each of you, for serving and your work on behalf of Alaskans. Grace Christian School is in support of SB 41, as last presented. We believe in fair and equitable practices for both public and private schools, and since the public school version of this bill is already set to begin this July, we believe private schools who are members of ASAA should also be included in that language. However, since the bill may be revised along the way with amendments, we do want to be specific about what we are endorsing. We just need to remember, I think, that private schools have a great variety of missions and site-specific considerations, so we believe it's imperative that the bill guarantee that each school be allowed to govern themselves and to be able to decide, number one, if indeed they will participate in the program in any given year. This is because private schools are part of the free market economy, and they need to consider exactly the impact this will have. You can imagine a situation where a high school of 20 has open basketball tryouts and 100 homeschoolers come and take all the spots. Their school would probably fold because the rest of their parents, having grown up as a family, would now not be able to participate. So I think each local school board of private schools should just be able to consider whether this is actually going to work for their situation or not. And number two, if they do decide to participate in the program, then that local school board also needs to be able to set the parameters that participation should be governed under, including but not limited to their admission standards, eligibility standards. ASAA might say 2.0 GPA, and private school may say 3.0, or a public school like they do now. They can have stricter standards. The numbers or ratios of homeschool participants on the teams, and the financial costs of that participation, so that referee fees, uniforms, travel, coaches, and all that is covered. We firmly believe that no public or private school should be using the program for any kind of undue influence in recruiting. We believe that schools are should be and will be upfront with the public about whether they are receiving homeschool students for tryouts or not, and under what parameters that participation shall occur. And that, I think, is just going to happen naturally with the free market economy. Private schools are going to want to be upfront with the public and have clear and consistent standards, so there's not confusion, things of that nature. But other than that, if those things are taken care of, then Grace Christian School would be in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Davis. Next is Suzanne Lucan. Are you online, Ms. Lucan?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name for the record and give your testimony.
I'm Suzanne Lucan. I'm a homeschooling, mother of two, one headed into high school this next year. And I appreciate the work that you're doing. I appreciate Senator Dyson bringing forth this change to Senate Bill 119. With a son that is headed into high school, he's had interaction in the junior high years with some of the sporting and activities, and he would certainly like to continue on doing these extracurricular activities with his peer group that he's enjoyed so far. I believe that there was a missing component in the law in Senate Bill 119, so I'm excited about the inclusion of private schools in Senate Bill 41. I support Senate Bill 41, and I would ask you to do that as well. I appreciate Senator Dyson and his staff bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee for Ms. Lucan? Seeing none, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to give public testimony? Is anyone else signed up? Okay. So at this point, Senator Huggins is going to leave just in a couple minutes here to a meeting, and I think what we'll do is set the bill aside, leave public testimony open, and we'll pick this up again on Friday, March 1st. Okay.
Thank you.
At this point, we're going to end the meeting.